We open with hymn number 68. Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. To thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths.
To the Holy Ghost, as it
Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Here ends the epistle lesson. All they that wait on thee shall not be ashamed, O Lord. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Hallelujah. Sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. We sing hymn number 56.
Adoring, bringing news of sin.
sins forgive.
Wake up, front desert morning.
And came to Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, the blessed season of Advent is upon us, and with it comes all the blessings the word Advent promises. Jesus is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He came unto his own people in the womb of Mary. But he was unnoticed by all but a few. He came to Jerusalem before the eyes of all. But not even his own disciples understood what was happening. He comes to us today with his blessings of life and salvation. But few recognize his presence in his word and sacraments. He is coming on the last day, for the final time, to judge the living and the dead, but few indeed are watching for his imminent return. For either men do not believe he is coming at all, or those who do are convinced he cannot yet come because the church has not yet been raptured away, or some other thing yet stands to be fulfilled. Nevertheless, Jesus comes, and when he comes, he does not come as men think that he should. And it is because of this that so many will be caught unaware. But in this blessed Advent season, let us not be caught unaware. For unlike the 12 disciples, we have the luxury of having all of the scriptures plainly laid out before us, so that we do not have to wonder about the significance of his birth, his life, his entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, or his suffering and death on Good Friday. All of these things are now openly declared to you, not just as events, but as events with a meaning which God himself has revealed to you in his word. Nevertheless, to the
children of this world, they are very perplexing events. What would you expect to see if you knew that the president was coming to your town? A motorcade, surely, and lots of Secret Service agents and blocked-off roads. There would probably be a stage, and the media would all be gathered around, and the mayor and the city council would be there because they would want to be seen with the president. You would not, however, expect to see the president drive a flatbed truck into town by himself with no one to protect him. Just as certain things are expected of you when you are president, so also when you are a king. Some of these things we see in Jesus, but some we do not see at all. He enters like a king, but on the wrong sort of animal. He has a retinue like a king, but of the wrong kind of people. He receives praises like a king, except that no one really knows why he is here. It makes for an odd picture. It's even a little odd for Jesus. Contrary to his practice at every other time, he did not want to be praised everywhere he went. He came quietly. He walked everywhere he traveled throughout all of Israel, except when he was in a boat. But now, he decides to ride into Jerusalem. Now, of course, you would expect a king to ride, but you would expect, certainly not expect him to ride a donkey. The only time... And so, now as Jesus is preparing to enter Jerusalem to observe the Passover, he leaves the city of Bethany, and with him come already a multitude of people who were gathered together because they wanted to see Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And now as they come to Bethphage, next to the Mount of Olives, a village that was nearby Bethany, Jesus asks two of his disciples to do something completely out of the blue. He tells them to walk into the town where they will see two donkeys tied, to walk right up, untie them, and take them. Now the disciples did not ask questions. They did as Jesus said, and they found the two donkeys as Jesus promised. And they were able to take them away with no resistance. All they had to do was say, "The Lord needs them." And they were on their way. Who would think? "The Lord has need of them," Jesus said. Why does the Lord need two donkeys? John tells us that the disciples did not understand what was happening as these events took place. I suppose that by this time they were used to Jesus doing things a little differently. In any case, it never entered their minds to ask why Jesus would need these donkeys until much later, when they remembered the words of Isaiah and Zechariah, through whom God said, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Even before Jesus was born, the Jews of old believed that this prophecy in Isaiah 62 and Zechariah 9 referred to the coming of Christ, the Messiah. But at the time, neither the disciples nor the rulers in Jerusalem even noticed that right under their eyes, Jesus was quite literally fulfilling that prophecy which identified him as Christ. All of Jerusalem was taken unaware by the coming of Jesus. And how often indeed we too are taken unaware by the words which God declares so clearly by his prophets and apostles. And yet, we do not even think of them when they are being fulfilled among us. When Jesus comes to us in the Word or in his supper, how often do we remember that this is the direct fulfillment of his promise, "I am with you always, even until the end of the world." When we are in trouble or in anguish, when we've been disappointed, or when we are incapacitated in any way or are in pain, how often do we think of God's clear and unambiguous promise, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." When world events and wars and earthquakes, hurricanes and floods threaten or destroy life and property, when governments and other powerful men threaten our freedom, or in some parts of the world, even formerly free nations can no longer openly teach God's word, and we feel oppression on our own borders, how often do we remember the very clear admonition of Jesus to look up, for your redemption draws near. The words of Jesus are so very clear, yet we often do not remember them when we should. But that is why God said, "Tell the daughter of Zion," because these things must be told to God's people. You must be told again and again what God has done and what he will do in Jesus Christ, because it does not appear to our eyes that anything that God promises is going to happen in the way he says it. Isn't it remarkable that even in prophecy God declares, "Tell her that your king is coming to you." You would think that everyone would be able to see that the king is coming. But not so with Jesus. The people had to be told, "See him? This is your king." For no king would dress in such simple robes. No king would ride a donkey, a stubborn and difficult one, a beast of burden at that. But this is how it must be with this king. He does not come to be glorified by men, but to be humiliated by them. And so it must be that he humbles himself, because it is not his destiny to set up a throne in Jerusalem and rule the kingdoms of the world like the new emperor. From the moment of his conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary to his humble birth, he was here to die. And is it not very strange, then, that rather than you going to this king comes to you? You do not have to request an audience with this king. He comes right to you when you are not looking for him. This is not the way kings do things here on earth, but this is how God demonstrated his love for you. When you were not looking for him, in fact, when you were so far from desiring him that God rightly calls you his enemy, Jesus came to reconcile you to God by his own death. You do not have to seek his favor or offer him your services. He, the king, comes to you and offers you his services and gives you his favor. We all like to talk about the ideal of the public servant, but really, what kind of king really thinks of himself that way? The subjects of a king serve the king. The king does not serve his subjects. What would you think if the king were to bow down before his own army and offer them his allegiance? But Jesus says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." In a normal kingdom, the subjects of the king go out and fight the battles in the king's name. And then when they have shown bravery under fire and win the day, they come back and they receive honor from the king, some medal or gift or title. But it is not so with Jesus. He goes out in your name, and he fights the battle on your behalf. And then when he has done all of this, he still gives you the reward as if you were the one who should be praised. It is in your name that Jesus enters Jerusalem, for he came to be your substitute. In your name he was crucified. In your name he endured the pains of hell. In your name he was buried in a tomb. And in your name he arose from the dead and declared victory over Satan, death, and hell. And now he comes to you after he has done all of these things, and he gives to you the fruits of his victory. He declares your honor. For he declares you to be righteous and holy and without sin. He gives you a place in his kingdom, a title as his own child and heir. He even names you as his co-regents, kings that will rule with him for all eternity. Such praises we should render to Jesus, our King. On the days he came to Jerusalem, as the prophets foretold, for a brief moment, he received such praise and honor as he deserved. As he later told the Pharisees, "If these people held their peace and did not sing hosannas, the stones themselves would cry out." as Christ is fulfilling the promise of the ages, the Spirit of God is moving the people to declare Jesus to be the coming one whom God had promised. The Son of David, the one above all others who can answer the cry, Hosanna, save us, O Lord. If this was the response of a people that hardly understood the meaning of these things, nor did they understand the work that Christ must do, nor the death that he must suffer for their sakes, how much more should we lift up our voices when we both know and have received the fruits of his passion? Jesus comes to you in this glad season, this year of the church. He comes to you in hymns and in music. He comes to you in the prophecies of the Old and New Testament. He comes to you with the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He comes to you in his supper and he gives you his body and blood. All of this was unknown. All of this was hidden from your eyes or your understanding. But now it has been clearly revealed as Jesus comes to you. Let this be a blessed Advent, where Jesus, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, shatters your earthly expectations and gives you more than you could ever ask or hope. Not because you have won this honor from him, but because he has won it for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies and God of all comfort, who since the world began has given through your holy prophets the promise of mercy and deliverance, we thank and praise you for the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. We beseech you, O God, that as your faithful people in every age have earnestly believed your word, so we also may unwaveringly believe it and be found ready to receive your heavenly promises. And as the faithful remnant in Israel looked with fervent longing for the coming of the Messiah, grant that we also may joyfully receive him, Jesus our Lord, and thus be delivered by his might from the power of sin, death, and the devil. To this end, dear God, lead us by your Spirit to acknowledge our great sinfulness. By his power, bring us to repentance. Help us to hate evil and to love good. Strengthen us against the temptations of Satan. Turn our hearts to seek righteousness and holiness, that thus we may serve and glorify you. Send the light of your word throughout the earth, that all may know you through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that in every place the cry may continue to go forth, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Grant peace and tranquility to the nations of the earth. We especially ask your favor upon our own land. Guide our authorities to be diligent in their callings, to do your will and to acknowledge you as the only true God. Bless all those who are gathered here today and sanctify them by your word. To those who are afflicted, to those who are in sorrow, to those who are enduring trials, to those who have any need of body or spirit, grant them such strength, comfort, and understanding that they may be comforted with the knowledge of your enduring help and presence. All this we ask in the name of him who came for our deliverance, died for our salvation, rose again for our justification, and ever lives to intercede for us before the majesty on high, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn number 66. Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Thank you. blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Sing hymn 49.
Almighty God, my word is cast, I see into
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.